Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen again to the words of our gospel lesson for this Sunday, recorded in John chapter 14, beginning at verse 15. Jesus says, "If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." This is God's Word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed, famous last words. There are lots of them, and they come in all different forms. Some of them are patriotic. Think of Nathan Hale, who said, "I regret that I have but one life to lose for my country." Last words might be arrogant. Karl Marx spoke his last words before he died to his nurse. He told her, "Go on, get out." Last words might also be a command for obedience. Parents might say to children as they go out for the evening, "You behave yourselves until we get back." Some people sadly equate that last kind of last words with the words that Jesus spoke for the last time to his disciples gathered together. A stern command. But nothing could be further from the truth. Jesus spoke to them rather something quite different. Sadly, these people who think that Jesus' last word was a stern command spend their entire lives trying to be good as God commands us to be, so that they are found in that obedience and can have a right relationship with God according to the way they feel. This morning we look at those contrary words, last words that our Savior spoke. We think of Jesus' seven words on the cross as being his last words. But these were the last words that Jesus spoke to his disciples as they were gathered together in the upper room on Maundy Thursday evening. This is the last chance for Jesus to instruct them and not threaten them, but make promises. Comforting and reassuring promises to them shortly before he went over to his enemies. And so this morning, based on those comforting and reassuring promises rather than a threat, we consider this theme. Jesus' last words included promises and not a threat. He would send the Holy Spirit to his church, and he would not leave us as orphans. Just prior to these promises that Jesus made in the upper room, our Redeemer had depicted heaven as many rooms, or in King James, many mansions. Jesus had pointed his disciples to him as the way, the truth, and the life. And now, Jesus adds these promises. he first of all mentions the identifying mark of his disciples, of their love. If you love me, you will obey what I command. In Greek, this is a statement of a simple condition of fact. People know that we love Christ when we obey His commands. Those disciples and we are able to obey His commands because of the Holy Spirit that God has sent to be with us and in us. So you might be thinking, on the basis of Jesus' words, if they already had the Holy Spirit as believers, then how would they receive the Holy Spirit again when Jesus kept His promise to send the Spirit to them? Jesus kept that promise of a special outpouring of the Holy Spirit when He sent the Spirit on the church at Pentecost. Jesus promised that He would send them, in Greek, a paraclete, or a counselor. The Holy Spirit on Pentecost came to the church, and as a counselor, gave it knowledge, gave it fearlessness, and gave it the gifts it needed to grow and to be strong. Jesus did not threaten His disciples as part of His last words to them, like that threat that I mentioned in my introduction of the parents threatening their children as they're going out for the evening. Jesus didn't say to them, "You had better grow in your knowledge." He didn't say, "You had better stop being of little faith." He didn't threaten them, "You had better hone your skills," by referring to some how-to scrolls so that you can build the church before I come back. No, Jesus simply made a wonderful promise, a promise that He would send the church the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who would give the church knowledge. The Holy Spirit who would fill the disciples' hearts with courage. The Holy Spirit who would endow the church with the gifts that it would need and then compel the church to use those gifts, compelled by Christ's love for them and carried out in their love for Christ. This counselor, Jesus says, is the Spirit of truth. He would come and He would tell them the truth. He would give them faith in the truth. He would enable them to speak the truth. The world, Jesus says, cannot and does not accept Him, because the world, natural man, does not and cannot accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. It is only when God sends us the Holy Spirit through the gospel, gives us that Holy Spirit into our hearts as a gift, and He is with us and in us, that we are able to know Christ. To know that intimate relationship that Jesus speaks about between Himself and the Father, and that intimate relationship that we enjoy with God as members of the church. This relationship, this intimate relationship that we enjoy with Christ by the Spirit, Jesus describes this way: "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." Jesus' last words included promises and not a threat. He promised that He would send the Holy Spirit to the church. But Jesus also promised that he would not leave us as orphans. The root meaning of the word orphan is to be fatherless. The disciples would feel fatherless after Jesus left them in a few hours to go and suffer and die on the cross. They would feel fatherless when he was crucified, died, and was buried. And then again they would feel fatherless when, after being with him for 40 days, Jesus would ascend visibly, bodily, from them into heaven. They would be thinking, what are we going to do now without Jesus? How are we going to function without Jesus being with us and taking care of us? Jesus promised the disciples, I'll see you again. And he did see them again, didn't he, in 3 days, when he rose again from the dead. They saw him on Easter morning and evening. They saw him for 40 days while he was with them until his ascension. And then they heard the angel say, you will see this Jesus again when he returns. And in the meantime, they and we see Jesus as he reveals himself in God's word. God has not left us as orphans. Our Redeemer spent a good deal of time here explaining to the disciples that intimate relationship between him and the Father. They're not the same person, but they're the same essence. Jesus told his disciples who wanted to see the Father, you've seen me, so you've seen the Father. We might say, Jesus meant you've seen God in me, and so you've seen God the Father, because we are one in essence. That is the intimate relationship among the persons of the Trinity. That is the intimate relationship that you and I have with our Father, with our God. Jesus says, he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. God has not left us as orphans. Jesus promised that he would be with us to the very end of the age. God our Father is with us each and every day in his providential care, both directly and through the angels. Jesus made a promise on the basis of his resurrection, and that promise is that he would not leave us as orphans. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. There is that intimate relationship between us and God. We live in God. The Son lives in our hearts. The Holy Spirit lives in our hearts. Jesus promises his resurrection. And by his resurrection, we have that new life. In the resurrection from the death of sin and unbelief. And one day our bodies will enjoy that resurrection to heaven. We have been raised to that new knowledge, to that new fearlessness, to that new compelling use of our gifts because of those promises that Jesus has made. Jesus' last words to his disciples were promises and not a threat. Jesus wasn't like the caretaker of an orphanage that said, you children better behave yourself so that when somebody comes, they will see you being obedient and then they will want to adopt you. In fact, it's just the opposite for us, isn't it? God has already adopted us in Christ. God has already called us to be his own and adopted us into his family through holy baptism. You and I are obedient children Exactly because of that. Exactly because God has called us to be His children. That we live our lives not under His threats, but we live our lives under His promises. His promise that He will send us His Holy Spirit. And He doesn't do that now like He did on Pentecost in that one-time special miracle, but He sends us the Holy Spirit and the gospel and word and sacrament every time we hear that good news of Jesus our Savior. He strengthens our faith. He makes us fearless in our faith. And He compels us to love Him because He first loved us. You and I desire to behave, to be good, to be obedient children and love Him because He became obedient unto death so that we could be His own and live with Him forever. We have the Holy Spirit. We are not orphans. Last words are not only interesting, sometimes they can be even compelling. In this case, we wouldn't exaggerate to say that they're life-giving. Jesus' promises here are among all the comforting and reassuring promises that our Savior gives His church as He prepares a place for us in heaven and one day will return to take us to be with Him where He is. And in the meantime, He sends the Paraclete, He sends His Counselor to His children to see to it. Amen.